You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome edition of the Ask Drone You podcast. In this week's new show, we have a lot to bring you. From the FAA, there's an update. Well, drone delivery might actually start helping the coronavirus, as we predicted, and drones are helping many people for good. Joining me, as always, this week to give you the best news team since San Diego, I have the Flying Dutchman with me. Welcome, the Flying Dutchman.
Hey. Good morning, Paul. How's it going today?
I am so excited because I heard the call this morning, Haya. I heard it for the first time, and it was, news team, assemble! And I was like, oh my God, I gotta go get on the show.
Yeah, man. Time to get to work. Time to get to the news today.
That is right. And actually, there's some really exciting news here, Haya, which let's get started right away. In the wake of the coronavirus, many federal testing centers have been closed. Well, yeah. Leaving many drone pilots wondering how are they going to actually renew and update their Part 107 certificate. Well, Haya, as you and I have talked before, we weren't expecting much from the FAA. And it makes me wonder if setting the expectation bar so low allowed the FAA to swoop in and surprise us all. Haya, what's going on?
That's a nice introduction there. I think this did surprise everybody, really, right? I mean, we didn't think the FAA was going to be able to come up with a solution. I mean, of course, all the test facilities have been shut down because of the coronavirus and everybody trying to stop the spread of that virus. But now we're going to be able to renew our licenses online. And I think that's a smart solution. Actually, I think it's so smart, we should probably continue it even after the pandemic is behind us. It's going to be officially announced in the Federal Register, but Vic Moss was actually able to figure this stuff out yesterday already, and I think we got the scoop on this news.
Yeah, I think we were the first to actually release this news, and it's actually exciting because, again, this only really helps people or pilots who need to renew their certificate. So yeah. If you need to renew from April 2020 to June 2020, they're saying that if you need to renew in that time frame, that, well, you can go online through FAASafety.gov, Haya. And I know that we put this news out on DroneXL, one of the first. But if you want to know exactly the step-by-step process on how to download the resources, the content, and take that PowerPoint class to renew your certificate, well then check out the DroneU blog because we put all the step-by-step instructions thanks to Vic's Sherlock Holmes investigative reporting.
Well, and it's an important thing to point out as well that if your license or your Part 107 certificate has expired, then I believe your insurance covering your drone business will probably not be valid as well. So it's definitely something that you want to take into consideration and make sure you take this online exam and renew your license.
Couldn't agree with you more, Haya. As we have said before, the insurance companies really are in control of the drone industry. And yeah, if you can't meet FAA guidelines, well then that's an easy way out for the insurance companies, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Definitely. But, well, that brings us to our next piece of drone news. Haya, I'm excited here as coronavirus has forced our government to, well, think outside the box and come up with alternative solutions. Well, it looks like drones might actually be able to deliver under Part 107. Haya.
Yeah, this is a cool story that brings us to sunny Florida from a rainy New York. UPS is using their drones to make deliveries to the nation's largest retirement community. It's called The Villages. It's somewhere in Florida. I'm not exactly sure where, but apparently 135,000 elderly people live there in retirement. And of course, elderly people are more susceptible, at least that's what we think right now, to catching the coronavirus or getting the coronavirus. So the social distancing rules to keep those people safe are more applicable to them than to younger people, it seems. And it makes more sense to use drones to make a touchless delivery where basically you bring the medication from the CVS location to the villages, and they don't bring it exactly to somebody's home or unit where they live, but they bring it to a central location. But they do limit the amount of human exposure and human contact in making these deliveries. So it seems like a very smart solution. UPS, of course, we know has been working on drone deliveries in the past as well. They're using drones at some hospital campuses around the country as well. In this case, they work together with Matternet, which is the company that makes the drone. UPS takes care of the delivery logistics, and CVS supplies the medication. And I think it makes sense. I mean, we spoke about this in previous news shows as well, is that the whole coronavirus and the crisis does create some opportunities for drone and for drone businesses to take off. And I think examples like these can kind of spearhead and showcase where we can use drones, how we can use drones, and how it can be done safely in an effective way. So I think it's a pretty cool story here.
Yes, it is a very cool story. And in fact, it does bring up another nugget of news that we have, which is, and I think I have to publicly apologize to Vic on the show, because I had posted about drone delivery in the commercial UAV group, and he was like, you can deliver under part 107. And I was like, well, unfortunately, sir, that is incorrect. And then because of some back and forth off air between he and I, and my family's law firm and one other person, we actually figured out that there is one very specific definition that allows drone pilots to conduct drone delivery interstate. Meaning, if you want to deliver that burrito that I'm craving right now over to my office, as long as it's in New Mexico to in New Mexico, it looks like Part 107 pilots might actually be able to conduct drone delivery. But Haya, we're going to have so much more on this in a new article coming at you this week, and we'll have more on it, I think, in the next news show. But what's up?
No special permits or waivers would be required if you do this, what, within line of sight, during daytime, not flying over crowds, all those kind of things?
I think you definitely mentioned some important caveats that must be met, but in the wake of the coronavirus, I'm not sure how difficult it really is to meet those requirements. Not only that, because the FAA has put out how to get these, I call them easy LOS waivers, because they're not truly beyond visual line of sight. They're more so extended visual line of sight, right? So if we marry the EVLOS waiver with the PAL-COA that the FAA put out for public safety, and specifically the part about transversing people, honestly, you could do drone delivery lightning fast. I mean lightning fast, as everyone who has an Inspire would really be set up to have drone delivery like right now. I mean super easy. So
Why do you point to the Inspire? Because of the speed and its ability to carry heavier payloads?
Its ability to carry heavier payloads, but you can buy these little clamps that click together to hold payloads, and then just move the arms up and the clamps come apart and drop the payload. So you don't actually have to like buy any module that you would put like on under your M600 or 200 or even on a modified Phantom. You can do it, by the way. But there is a little module, and Splash Drones sells the module that's actually sitting right there. And all you do is plug it in the flight controller, and it's this little hook and bar. And when you click the button on your remote, it just goes whoop and lets the payload go. It's that simple. It's a pin. Whoop. Yep.
And you're all set.
Yes.
So that will be the drone it's not the most affordable drone in itself, but it would be the easiest one to kind of get ready for deliveries by drone.
Yes. I think it would be the most plausible to get started right away. I'm sure you could have other options. You know, a lot of people don't know that they can take their gimbal cover on a Phantom and turn it upside down and mount it to the Phantom and just tie a string, and now you have your payload under a Phantom. Trust me, I know these things because of all the flight exercises we've done at the fly-in. So I'm like, how do you want to carry coffee? I got five ways to do it. So.
Hey, and let's say in a state like New Mexico, where the weather is always beautiful and crystal clear, what do you think an extended range for visual line of sight would be? How far do you think within Inspire you'd be able to get that burrito, let's say, from wherever location to your office?
Well, you know that Albuquerque is in a very unique position asking this particular question, because we're in like a bowl. And you know that, like, my house, I can see 65 miles, you know, due west. And so, you know, visual line of sight is quite far, you know. But I would say realistically, I think you could go a mile or two while being safe. Because, again, we've got to think about how much amperage draw are we taking from the batteries by holding this payload. And this is why that third rule of takeoff is so important, because it doesn't matter if you have a payload or just the drone, or you attached a GoPro to your drone, that battery test is going to let you know right away if it's going to be a safe delivery for that Beto Express or not.
Yeah, and it's going to have an impact on your battery performance for sure, because not only are you carrying additional weight, but also you're far less aerodynamic, especially when you're flying at higher speeds. So you're not going to get the same flight time that you normally would get out of your battery when you fly without a payload.
Couldn't agree more. And if you're a wise pilot, Haya, what could you do to extend the battery, but it would take extreme pilot skill? What could you do?
Extend the battery, what, the flight time with... Tell me.
Attitude mode. Attitude mode shuts down all of the sensors, the compass and a couple other sensors, so you're not powering them anymore. So you're not using all that energy.
So how much of a difference would that make, you think, though?
I don't know, Haya. Maybe you should go out and do a hover test with a Phantom in GPS mode and let it sit there and see how long it flies for. And then fly in attitude mode with another one right next to it. And you tell me which battery lasts longer.
No, I think we know the answer, but it'd be interesting to know what the difference is. Like, are we talking another 2-3% of flight time, additional flight time, or is it like 20%? And is it really significant?
Last time I did this test was on a Phantom 2. And it was, I think, like, the difference was like 11 minutes and 12 and a half. So it was only like a minute and a half difference. But you got to remember, that was back in the day when you only got like maybe 14 minutes of flight time.
Yeah. Well, the other day I was flying the Mavic Air 2 in strong wind conditions, like 20, 25 miles an hour winds. And I was flying straight into the winds. And that drone is supposed to get 34 minutes of flight time. And it was done at, 21, 22 minutes because of all the extra power you need to battle the winds. So aerodynamics, the windy conditions, I mean, all that stuff factors in, of course, in how much flight time you have. And then if you want to have safe flight time and make sure you have some reserve power left for whatever circumstances, you're cutting it down even further.
Yeah. You know what I did find interesting in reading the specs from your release on the Mavic Air 2 was that the maximum pitch angle changes when the drone realizes it's in high wind. So typically you're limited to about 20 degrees pitch, and it'll go to I forget the exact number, so don't quote me on this, but I think it was like 24 or 27 degree pitch. Like, it extended the pitch angle just to allow you to fly in windier conditions. And it's really interesting to see how DJI is using software to overcome Mother Nature.
Yeah, I wasn't flying it straight into the wind. Like, there was a slight angle to it. And what you could see is the drone was like leaning into the wind. So it wasn't just flying forward. It was almost flying upward in a way as well. But because of the winds, it just flew horizontally. It seemed like it was overextended because the horizon line that you saw in the video footage was definitely at an angle. So it was battling hard to maintain that speed and fly almost straight into the wind for sure.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, it makes me ask you a question here, Haya, because in our next piece of drone news, many people are asking the Mavic Air 2 for commercial viability. And this is one article that that I wrote for you. And I make a couple of arguments about why I do not believe that this drone is commercially viable. But some people have made the argument that you can make money with just about anything. While I agree with that, I think the question is more so, is this a practical purchase? Is this something that is going to consistently and reliably bring me income? And I think I brought up four main points that I believe why it does not. But Haya, after some of the things that I've been seeing on your new YouTube channel, it looks like you think that this drone may actually be quite good for some Instagrammers. Is that right?
I think so for sure. I mean, I think right now, if you're looking to buy a drone and you're looking at DJI products specifically, I don't think you can get more value for your money than buying the DJI Mavic Air 2. I mean, it rivals the DJI Mavic 2 Pro in certain areas. I mean, if you're a dedicated low light photographer, then of course you're not going to be the 1-inch sensor. So in those cases, definitely go for the DJI Mavic 2 Pro. If you're into videography, then the performance of the Phantom 4 Pro is going to be better. A bigger sensor, just better quality video. But if you're on a limited budget, you want a drone that pretty much does everything, and that's the safest drone, arguably the smartest drone, at least DJI claims it is, then I think you'll be hard pressed to do better than getting the DJI Mavic Air 2. Now, if you're looking to build a business, as what you were discussing in your article, I think that's a different ballgame. I mean, if you're into the Instagram business or you want to do wedding photography or things like that, then the Mavic Air 2 may suffice. If you're going to build a serious drone business where you want to do inspections and mapping, things of that nature, then I think you should pony up the additional money and invest in more serious drone equipment. So for those circumstances, I would definitely agree with your 4 points, although I do see where some of the other people come from with their arguments that, hey, you can use this for real estate photography, you can use this for wedding photography, you can use this drone for roof inspections. I mean, yeah, you can. Is it the best drone? No. Is it the safest drone? No. You could do better. And I think arguably the Phantom 4 Pro would probably be the best drone for any drone business that you're going to get into, basically.
See, I think a lot of those comments are super short-sighted, Haya, because they're like, oh yeah, I can go out and make money with real estate in this drone. It's like, yeah, you can. You can go out and use Drone Base and make $75.
Yeah.
But are you going to build a business off of $75 for 3 hours of work? No, you're not. So,
yeah.
And then here's the thing, right? He talks about weddings too. Okay, you have this drone and a wedding. I have never met a more stringent client than a bride-to-be, Haya. And you know what? If a bride-to-be can see the color range of a Mavic 2 Pro side-by-side with that Mavic Air 2, you bet your ass she's going to pick the guy with the better drone. Come on. You know what I mean?
It's on the wedding photography part. I think that's a special animal in its own right. So be careful.
And you know what? For everyone who wants to serve the lowest of the low clients, you're right. This drone is great. You guys should go use it.
Exactly. Leave the rest for other people.
Exactly. Yeah. Leave the serious work for us. So, but you know, it does, in all seriousness, Haya, there are a few very important points as to why I don't think that this drone is actually good for commercial purposes. And it has nothing to do with the camera sensor. It has so much to do with liability. If you are running a business, if you are conducting commercial work with your drone, then you have insurance. You have stricter limitations. In addition, you have a responsibility to make sure that you're always going to have a safe flight, right? Because every drone pilot knows if the FAA wants to stick it to you, they're going to, and they're going to call it a careless and reckless flight. So let me ask this question. In fact, I really wish Bill was here right now. If a drone pilot got in an accident at a wedding and they were flying a Mavic Air 2, could a federal investigator make the argument that you were careless and reckless because you were flying a drone that had no remediation against emergency situations? Meaning, you have a drone that has one compass and all those cell phones going off right in that wedding? Well, now your compass doesn't work. What's your backup? Well, attitude mode. Okay, but you can't do a hard switch into attitude mode. So now it's running back and forth between GPS and attitude mode as it's running into the bride's hair. So I asked the question, and I'm sorry to pull the like little Hervey lawyer out, but this is how you have to think, is like worst case scenario. So if you're shooting a wedding and you only have one compass on that drone, you have no attitude mode and thus no recourse for an emergency, it begs the question, could the insurance company say, we're not going to cover this? Probably not. But the FAA could definitely say, you know, as a commercial pilot, you're supposed to be able to stop a flyaway and understand points of interference. It's on your Part 107 exam. And if you cannot take those points and apply them to the practical world, then are you really being a safe pilot?
Yeah, no, I think your points are valid. I mean, some of the scenarios might be unlikely. I mean, the accidents may happen. I don't know if the FAA is going to pursue you, but you're right. I mean, if you're serious about launching your career as a drone pilot or you're serious about building a drone business, then you should probably go for the best equipped, safest drones that are out there. And in that case, you're probably still looking at least a Phantom 4 Pro. So I would totally agree with you there. But I see where people come from. I mean, a lot of people, especially nowadays, they'll start their business with photos that they share on Instagram, videos that they make for YouTube, and they will use their iPhone or their smartphone to make videos. They will use their DJI Mavic Air to make aerial photos and videos as well. So I see where they come from as well. But yeah, if you're serious about building a business, you should do better and you should go for a Phantom 4 Pro.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And a couple of things ran through my head as you were saying this, but if I think DJI knows just how important attitude mode is. You know why? The proof is always in the pudding, right? What happened at the end of Q3 last year with DJI? DJI launched their training program with UTC and John McBride, and everything was great. We're so awesome. We have 20 training locations across the US. No, you don't. You're renting fields just like we do. That killed me. And you know what made it so much better? You know what made me feel so good about the whole situation? DJI enacted attitude mode on all the enterprise vehicles in Q3 of last year. Why? Why?
Exact same reasons. Yeah. The only thing is, of course, on the Mavic, you don't have a dedicated switch on your controller. You still need to dig through menus to get there. So, do you think that for the Mavic 3, they might actually put a button or a switch on the controller itself so you can flick right into attitude mode?
Well, Haya, I hacked all my Mavics, so I do have a hard switch on mine. I really hope they do to answer your question. But let me put it to you this way. I would way rather use attitude mode than like tripod mode. The way that I have my drone set up is that if I switch out of GPS, once I go back into GPS, I'm now in attitude mode. So if I still want to use GPS and all of my intelligent flight features, I can. It's not until I have to do a physical switch that now the drone is permanently in attitude mode. I can switch it into sport mode in GPS, but that's how I have mine set up so I can get more out of it.
So what, you reprogrammed your tripod mode? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly correct.
Huh.
Yep.
And if people want to know how to do that, how would they find out?
They could watch my How to Hack a Mavic 2 Pro video on YouTube.
There you go. No, it's a smart move for sure. But I mean, if DJI already recognized this and they adjusted their training program, you would think that they're smart enough to make a dedicated button on that Mavic 3, especially if they're discontinuing the Phantom line at some point.
Well, it makes you wonder what they think about their consumers, right? Because if they launched a training program and then they realize that, hey, maybe we need attitude mode. I mean, everyone who comes to Drone U training knows that like we do about 4 or 5 exercises on attitude mode alone. And I think that it's clear we have set the training standard because DJI sent 3 or 4 of their instructors to 2 of my classes. So that being said, attitude mode, it doesn't matter who you get trained from, you need to learn it. I'm not going to sit here and be on my high horse and be like, you should only get training from Drone U. Look, it's not possible for everyone, right? Yeah, I want to train everyone because I want to make the best pilots in the whole world. Top Gun. So I'm going to have to bleep that out. But anyway, I want the best. So, and I'm going to hold you to a high standard. And that's what Drone U is about. So, all right, off the high
There you go.
horse. In this next piece of drone news, Haya, it looks like the enterprise market may be getting a new drone from DJI. But I was kind of surprised by this story, Haya, as I thought we were expecting to see the M300 back in March. What do you have?
Yeah, a lot of things were supposed to happen earlier this year, but guess what? Coronavirus messed a lot of logistics up, manufacturing processes, and DJI was not, how do you say that? They were exposed to the coronavirus, obviously, as well. So the DJI Matrice 300 has been delayed. The latest word that we've received is that as of May 1st, so starting tomorrow, DJI will be training their retailers here in the US to prepare them for the launch of the drone. The official launch will probably be about 2 weeks later. So think mid-May. But we do have some new information as to the specs that we are expecting on the Matrice 300. First of all, They're going to apparently ditch their partnership with FLIR Systems. So DJI is going to launch their own thermal camera with a 4x zoom capability on this drone. And also the drone is going to have 3 cameras. So 2 in the gimbal up front and then 1 that can be mounted on top of the drone, which is quite an interesting proposal. I think the original Matrice 200 and 210, if you mount 2 cameras up front, that drone looks pretty serious already. So imagine if you put 1 more on top of the drone, it starts to become quite the creature. Flight time is up, 55 minutes flight time, which I think will be very good news to a lot of people. All the Matrice 300s will now come with real-time kinematics. So RTK will be built in. Whether you turn it on or off is different, but all drones will be equipped with the hardware. And there is one rumor that we haven't been able to confirm yet is that it might have underslung propellers. So underslung meaning, for instance, if you take a look at the Skydio, see how these props are mounted underneath the arms, whereas the one in the back are mounted on top. We don't know if the Matrice 300 is going to have only underslung props or whether it's just on the back side or the front side of the drone. But there is a rumor out there that it might have underslung propellers. I said training as of May 1st and the launch should be expected about 2 weeks later. Now, one thing, one piece of news that will not get you so excited is that the Matrice 200 and 210 were not inexpensive drones to begin with. The Matrice 300 is going to be significantly more expensive. So yes, you're going to get a improved and much better drone, but it's going to be about 30% more expensive than the original Matrice 200 and 210 series. So for anybody looking to buy the Matrice 300, you better get your credit card or your wallet ready, because this is going to be one expensive drone.
Oh, Haya, this goes back to the whole, during the wake of the coronavirus, who's spending money on drones, right? And then we did that poll in the group, and then I did the poll on Instagram, and 94% of the people who responded, which was a little under 1,000 people in total, said that they would not be buying any new drones for commercial or recreational purposes anytime soon. Now, there's some really interesting information that you just said. More expensive, 30%, right? When the M200 first came out, it was $7,500, and then it went up to $8,500, and then it went up even more, right? So it begs the question, is DJI actually opening up the market for an enterprise American manufacturer? Because there's a drone that you and I know of right now that's new as of like last week that is truly American, and it would blow this thing out of the water. And you're just kind of like, you know, this big push for American drone manufacturers, while I don't necessarily agree with it, I don't think that we can fight the attitudes of deglobalization based off of what's been going on with the coronavirus. There are going to be effects with that. And I hate to see us slide from one side of the pendulum to the other. I would like to see us right in the middle where we have global competition, but we do have an American manufacturer who can compete right now, or who can compete. I don't think we have that right now. But Haya, I will just say, you know, with a lot of the things that I heard about the M200, the M210, the reliability issues, the consistency issues, you remember the battery failure problems that it had in year one, it just makes you wonder, are people going to be willing to shell out the money when DJI has trained and taught their enterprise audience what to expect in those 200 210s and how different that is if you're familiar with the consumer drones from, let's say, 2015 to 2018, right? I would argue that my Phantom 4 Pro is a lot more reliable than an M200 or M210. And some people would be like, yeah, but you can't fly a 30x zoom camera. Sure, I can't, but guess what? I can fly 6 inches from something, you know?
Yeah. Get a lot closer.
Yeah, I mean, it's semantics, frankly. So it really makes me wonder what DJI is going to put out in this drone to truly wow people. And then, Haya, is the rumor true that they delayed this launch because they were having issues with the drone? I remember reading that somewhere, but I can't remember, and I may just be crazy, so...
Oh, there's two things that caused the delay as far as we can tell. One, of course, has been the coronavirus. I mean, there was issues with people from the US. They would have to travel to China to be trained on flying this M300. They canceled that. Then they were going to fly people from China to the US. Of course, there were issues there as well. So part of it is related to coronavirus. The other part that we heard was that there were also software bugs that needed to be straightened out, and that was also part of the delay. Just going back to what you were just saying, I think, and we spoke about this in previous shows as well, I mean, if there ever was a time for an American drone company to kind of step into the market, I don't think there'd be a better time than right now. I mean, of course, you have to deal with the coronavirus, but in terms of the competitive landscape for drones, I think right now would be probably the best time for an American company to step into this market for sure. In terms of the Matrice 300 and the issues in terms of reliability with the previous model, I would imagine that DJI would have resolved those issues with battery connection, and also I think some of it had to do with flying in moist and rainy conditions where the drones proved to be not so reliable. So assuming that DJI would have made those improvements, I think one other thing that DJI brings to the table is that it's not just about the drone. It's about the whole support network. It's about the SDK possibilities that they offer. And I think a lot of enterprise customers, they don't just want the drone. They want the training. They want the service. They want redundancy. They want to be able to modify and customize the drone to their specific needs. So for anybody to step into that market and to be able to perform at that same level, it will take quite an organization and quite some people and money and hardware as well.
Well, Haya, I'm excited to see what we have in next week's news show, because I know one of those American companies just got 8 figures of funding. So, yes, very excited to hear about that. But let's transition into some good news, because I think we're all sick and tired of hearing how these manufacturers are like, buy our stuff, buy our stuff, buy our stuff. And it's like, guys, we can't use it right now. Like, only half of us can use it. So calm down, pump the brakes. Like, but in this next piece of drone news, Haya, or in our next segment of how drones are being used for good, it looks like disaster almost struck one small city. Well known. Chernobyl? Yeah. What happened?
Chernobyl, 34 years ago, of course, we had the nuclear meltdown there, which caused, I think it's still the largest nuclear disaster the world has ever seen. I remember I was pretty young, but it was all over the news back then in Holland. I think they only reported it after 4 days of the meltdown actually occurring. So a number of days went by before it became public news, but it was a big deal for sure. Now, April 4th this year, there were wildfires around the Chernobyl exclusion zone. And one of the worries was with these fires that they might get into that radioactive area and radioactive particles might end up in the smoke and then travel and come down somewhere else. And that, of course, would not be a good thing. So they were trying to control this wildfire, and wildfires are tricky. One of the reasons, I mean, they move very fast, but also there's a lot of smoke development, which makes it hard to see exactly where the fire is spreading, where the hotspots are. And in this case, to fight the wildfire, what they did is they used 10 drones, two of which were DJI Mavic 2 Enterprises with a dual camera setup, meaning that there's a thermal camera as well. And the benefit of flying with a thermal camera was that you can see right through the smoke, and you can see exactly the line of fire as it moves through the landscape, and you can see where the exact hotspots are. So with the naked eye, this would be very hard to see, and it would be hard to direct your firefighters to the right location. However, when you have a thermal camera, you can see right through the smoke and exactly identify where those hotspots are and where the fire is traveling. So this story is about how they were far more effective in fighting that fire with the use of drones. Also, there's a short video clip that kind of shows you what you see with the naked eye and then what it looks like when you look through a thermal camera. And to me, it was quite the eye opener to be able to see right through that layer of smoke and see exactly where the fire is raging. So if you have a minute, be sure to check that article out.
Yeah, very interesting, as Chernobyl has had some really cool FPV videos come out of there. And I just bought my Cinewhoop, Haya, so I'm excited to do some stuff like that too. But it looks like in our next piece of news under our Drones for Good segment, it looks like Skydio is stepping up to the plate to try to help first responders and public safety as a whole in the wake of the virus. What are they doing?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, as you know, Skydio, they shut down their production because of the coronavirus, and I haven't heard yet of them opening up and starting up their production again. So I'm not sure if they're not able to ship drones out to people who paid for those drones already, who placed their pre-orders and who are urgently waiting to receive their drones. I mean, we know that the first three batches of Skydio 2 drones were sold out, and people have to wait still until like September, October, November to get their drones. kind of makes you wonder how they're able to ship drones out to first responders right now. But they did start that program. It kind of seems like a copy of what DJI was doing. I mean, they also launched their disaster relief program here in the United States. DJI shipped out 100 drones to, I think it's 42 different first responder agencies around the country. We don't have exact numbers on exactly what Skydio is planning to do. So we don't know if they're shipping out 10 drones or we're talking about 100 drones or 200 drones. What we do know is that Skydio has been focusing on first responders and commercial enterprises as their customer base as well. So the Skydio 2 is not just meant to be a consumer drone. They're actually looking to make their ways into the first responders world as well. I'd love to learn more about it. We've contacted Skydio to get some more information on this. As soon as we have that, we'll report back. But I think in general, it's a good thing for Skydio to be doing this and to get their drones out into the hands. I think the coronavirus in a way is an opportunity to show what drones can be do and how they can be used. So that I applaud them for sure.
Couldn't agree more. I have a quick question for you, if you don't mind. If you don't want to answer it, all good, I understand. But I know some people have been kind of comparing the Skydio to the Mavic Air 2 because, you know, yeah. DJI has been saying their MA2 is the smartest drone that they've launched. I would say questionable. But what are you seeing so far? Do you think that that is even an apples to apples comparison? Or is this more like a pineapple met the banana?
It's somewhere in between, I think. I mean, it's in a way it's apples and apples because the drones are around the same price point, right? I mean, you can pick up a Skydio for $999. You can pick up the Mavic Air 2 for $799. So the difference is not that great. Granted, if you want a controller or that magical control stick, you have to pay extra with the Skydio. So if you want the extra goodies, you're going to end up at $1,200, $1,300, give or take. But relatively speaking, they're in the same price range. The Skydio is able to fly autonomously because it uses 4K cameras, six of them, around the drone. So this drone can fly in any direction and it can scope out its environment. The DJI Mavic Air 2 is different because this drone only has obstacle avoidance sensors at the front, at the bottom, and then at the back of the drone. So it doesn't have any side sensors or sensors at the top of the drone, meaning that if, let's say, you have this drone tracking you and you fly it sideways in a big arc around you, it potentially could fly sideways into a tree, which is something that almost happened to me when I was flying this drone the other day. So I don't think the Mavic Air 2 is as good as the Skydio 2 drone is in terms of flying. However, as a lot of people have pointed out, the Skydio is kind of jerky in its movement. So if you want to get cinematic movement and have the Skydio follow you and track you, sometimes when it's adjusting the angle and its perspective on you, the movements aren't quite smooth. So it's not so easy to get that cinematic footage. What I notice is that the Mavic Air 2 does a better job in that regard. Now, the real interesting thing, of course, is when the Mavic 3 is going to be launched, because the Mavic 2 Pro already has 360-degree obstacle avoidance. So that drone does have the obstacle avoidance sensors on the top and on the side. Now, I would imagine that the Mavic 3 is going to have at least the same, if not better, obstacle avoidance. If they pair that up with ActiveTrack 3.0, then yeah, I think at that point you might see a drone from DJI that is able to fly pretty much in the same capacity as the Skydio 2 drone does.
Wow. This makes me ask one more question, Haya. And sure. I hear that there are rumors that you're actually going to be giving away one of these. Is that true?
Yeah. Working with you guys from DroneU and our new renewed partnership. I mean, obviously, we were working together on DroneU shows and other stuff in the past as well. But we're going to do it better and more aggressively and more creatively. We're going to start with giving away one Skydio 2 drone, just like the one you see here, the one that you can't buy, you can't get anywhere else. We're going to give away one to one of our happy readers, followers, YouTube following, anybody. So make sure you keep an eye out on DroneU, DroneXL, and on the YouTube channel to find out all the details. We'll be posting that that shortly. But if you want to get your hands on the Skydio 2 drone before anybody else, then this is your chance to do so.
I think it's awesome. What I love too is that they're not going to be waiting for the shipment like everyone else. They're going to get their Skydio as soon as they win it. So that's truly awesome.
Exactly.
That's truly awesome. Well, Haya, I have to say I'm excited to see your comparison of the Skydio and the Mavic 2 Air, or the Mavic Air 2, excuse me. I will say personally, for my selfish benefits, I could see the benefit of a 48 megapixel image on Instagram. And so when you said that earlier in the show, I was like, could I step my Instagram game up at all? And then I was like, man, not worth it. I'll just take my Mavic.
I'm glad you bring it up, because I think the fact that DJI advertises that 48 megapixel still photography capability of that drone, people have to understand how that works, because really it's you're getting a 12 megapixel photo, but what they do is they split the pixels, so therefore by quadrupling it you get your 48 megapixel picture, which is sounds great, it is great, you have much better resolution, but it comes at an expense, and the expense is low light performance. If you take that picture on a bright, clear day like you get in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're going to get a great photo. If you do it because you want to try to capture a sunset and you have shady areas and bright spots in your picture, it's not going to perform as great. I tried to take multiple shots at different exposure levels and see if you could bracket them so that if you overlay, let's say, four or five different 48 megapixel photos on top of each other, can you then overcome that low light performance? Because now you're using the best parts of the shadow areas from one photo and you balance it out with some of the brighter spots of another picture. The problem with doing that on the drone is that for the Mavic Air 2 to process a 48 megapixel photo takes about 2 seconds. So now you're taking 5 shots, 2 seconds per shot. Meanwhile, trees are moving in the winds, your drone is swaying in the air a little bit. And then when you put these pictures on top of each other, it's very hard to get everything exactly lined up. So yeah, you will get your 48 megapixel photo. You will be able to recover highlights and shadows, but it's not going to be that same sharp and crisp picture that you would expect you get. You can do it, of course, in the 12 megapixel option where you do it automatically. So you get automated bracketing. Those pictures are being taken very rapidly after each other. The flip side there is that they're limited to 12 megapixels. So yeah, you get your great sharp photo, but you're not getting anywhere near your 48 megapixels. So you kind of have to know and understand how this drone works. I mean, it's not quite false advertising on DJI's part to say that this drone can take 48 megapixels, but you're not going to be able to use it perhaps in the way you thought you might be able to use it. So it's something to look into.
And just to piggyback off of what you're saying, the number one complaint that I've heard is that it's controlled with the same app that the Mini uses, and you have so much less control over the drone. And I have to say, until a drone manufacturer lets me still have full control of my vehicle, I'm probably not going to be buying them anymore, because I think it's time to send a message that we're not going to play along with this anymore.
Yeah, although what I think is happening there is that the so you're talking about the DJI Fly app, which was first introduced on the DJI Mavic Mini. They also introduce it or use it again on the DJI Mavic Air 2. It does seem to be the way forward, though. And I remember the first time I used it, I was disappointed. I was looking in the wrong places for things that didn't exist because I was used to flying with the DJI Go 4 app. However, once you do fly for some time with the Fly app, and you go back to the DJI Go 4 app, the Go 4 app seems to be cluttered and complicated and things, yeah, you have access to certain options, but to get to them, it's not so easy. So what I hope DJI will do is to keep working on the Fly app, make it better, bring those features back, but bring them back in a more user-friendly way. And I think if they do that successfully, then I think the DJI Fly app might be the way forward after all.
Well, Haya, all I have to say is I respectfully disagree.
Ah, there you go. Fight me on Facebook. I'll call Vic Moss for some help.
Hey, please. Most people do. They tend to play the parental game often with me and him. So, yeah, I think it wouldn't be the first time. It would probably just be the 10,000th time. So, good try. It's been done way too much for it to be effective. But, Haya, I do really appreciate you. And really killer insight, man. Love what Drone XL is doing. And just to remind everyone out there, remember, Haya is no longer with Drone DJ. I know I've been seeing a lot of you saying like, oh, great job, Haya, on some of the Drone DJ posts. But I've had to like quietly and friendly remind people like, hey, you know, I don't think this is what you think it is. So anyway, just want to remind. And Haya, once again, say thank you to you. And since you kind of announced our partnership and whatnot, yes, we are working with you. And we're very grateful for that.
Awesome. Well, same here. I'm very grateful as well for the opportunity. And it's always a lot of fun working not just with you, but the entire DroneU team. So I'm super excited for it. I think some of the ideas that we're about to introduce and some of the giveaways we're going to launch are going to be super exciting as well, especially starting with that Skydio 2 drone. And thank you for pointing out. Indeed, I'm no longer with Drone DJ. If you want to follow me and learn more about the drone industry and all the news and the rumors that are going on, be sure to go to droneexcel.co. And then you can follow me there. Other than that, thanks for this show, and we'll see each other next week.
Definitely, and thank you, Haya. And also a quick shout out and thank you to our friends, our colleagues, our fellow humans at the FAA. Thank you for what you said about drone pilots being important in the wake of the coronavirus. Seriously, thank you. Thank you to our friends at the FAA. You know who you are. You know I'm not afraid to poke your poke the bear. And that's because I hold everyone to a high standard, you included. So thank you very much for helping drone pilots out, right? I mean, it's not just about my ego and Haya's. It's about helping the community at large. And that's why we are grateful for you. You know who you are. Haya, thank you. Thank you so much. Really do appreciate it. And I'm again, very grateful to have you on the DroneU flight crew. And that is going to do it for our show today. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Don't be afraid to subscribe, like, and ask us a question. Ask droneu.com. And for links to all these articles, make sure to check out the show notes below. In addition, you're going to want to subscribe to Haya. You're going to want to subscribe to DroneU. Why? Well, it's that giveaway. It's not just one drone. It might be a dozen, but you won't know unless you're subscribed. So make sure you smash that subscribe button and let us know what you think. We're grateful for you and we're grateful for this industry. So thank you so much for joining the DroneU flight crew in another news episode of Ask DroneU. From the Flying Dutchman and myself, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks again.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the DroneU.